My guest sees so clearly into the invisible world, and he has imparted this gift to thousands. It makes them, are you ready? It makes them indestructible. Next. Hello, I'm here with Blake Healy, and Blake today is the director of the Bethel School of Ministry in Atlanta, and is equipping thousands of young people to move in the same power that he moves in. But Blake, I have to tell you, it absolutely provokes me to jealousy. At 2 years of age, you're looking into the invisible world. I mean, how did you handle it?
Yeah, you know, it kind of happened in stages. When I was really young, everything that I saw in the spirit was just as normal to me as anything else. Because I remember when I was young, I just kind of took everything as face value. As I got a little bit older, especially 9, 10 years old, whenever I'd talk about some of the things that I was seeing, I would get kind of strange looks from my friends, and it made me think, well, maybe this is something you're not supposed to talk about or is impolite to talk about, and it made me start to shut down.
Well, your parents were Christians, but they didn't understand this.
Yeah, we grew up in a church that didn't really know how the supernatural worked, and so they didn't really know what to look for.
I'm just curious, when you would see angels, did they look like humans? What did they look like as a child, if you can remember?
Yeah, no, there was a wide variety. Some of them looked more or less like people. I remember we'd be in a worship service, and I would see angels that looked like, kind of like young women. They had long hair, but they were wearing these golden flowing robes and carrying banners and leaping great distances and dancing and jumping around during worship.
Well, that sounds like better entertainment than anything we see on television.
Definitely.
Okay, but then you started really seeing clearly the dark side at 9. What occurred?
Yeah, so I would see demons, you know, now and then when I was younger, but I didn't really feel any sense of fear. It felt like something that was kind of, you know, out there. When I was 9, though, especially at nighttime, I'd start to have this just overwhelming fear come over me, and I would see demonic things, and sometimes for hours just lay in my bed, unable to go to sleep, just completely and totally terrified.
Did you go to your parents over this?
I was old enough then to know that what I was experiencing wasn't entirely normal, and so all I really told my parents was that I was scared. And, you know, they gave me all the great things to do. They gave me prayers to pray. They let me have a little CD player that I could play worship music. But for about 3 years, nothing I did helped at all.
But then God took mercy and sent your parents to a new church that believed in the supernatural, and of course you went with them. What effect did that have on you?
Yeah, it was a real turning point in my life. We moved across the country and moved to a new church, and they're really active about teaching the gifts of the Spirit, and especially prophecy. And so I went to this prophetic class, and as I was hearing about the different ways that people hear God's voice, visions, dreams, and all these different things, it was the first time that I had a real solid context for what was going on. Up until that point, I hadn't decided if either I was going crazy or if the devil had just decided to ruin my life.
Now, what about this fear? How did you eventually got rid of this supernatural fear?
Yeah, it was an amazing thing. As soon as I learned about the prophetic, that gave me enough of a context that I was able to feel fully comfortable going to my parents, telling them everything that was going on. We spoke with the church leaders there, and even though none of them had the exact same gift, they had at least heard of people who had had the same kind of gift. And that one revelation that this wasn't just the enemy attacking me, this wasn't just me losing my mind, but it was a gift that I hadn't learned how to manage yet, it reoriented my experience from being just something that was happening to me to being rooted in something that I was meant to grow in. And what happened after that was amazing. I still saw the demonic stuff after I had that conversation with the leaders that first night, but all of the fear was gone. And after about a week, the demonic stuff stopped trying to bother me at all.
And I would passionately help people that are fearful.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I believe, again, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And it's one of the reasons I wrote this book is I want people to recognize that we don't have to just chase fear away. We're actually meant to live a life that actually repels the attacks of the enemy. I think that in that early part of my life, even though I was a Christian, I didn't necessarily have a real understanding of that, of where my identity was rooted in Christ. And it was that revelation that felt like it equipped me to just naturally repel those attacks.
So you literally learned how to change your environment by understanding the manufacturer's handbook, the Bible. And you equip others on how to do this. You literally believe that until it's God's moment for you to go to heaven, you are indestructible.
I absolutely believe that. I believe that God has anointed His children to be completely immune to the attacks of the enemy. It doesn't mean there won't be challenge. It doesn't mean there won't be trials. But I believe that we are meant to live a lifestyle and live in His presence in such a way where we know exactly how to navigate those trials and be successful in any kind of challenge.
Well, I have to tell you, your book is a God book. And it is, because it'll make you indestructible too. You have an amazing revelation between light and darkness. I like it.
Absolutely. You know, and it's awesome. It's in the Bible. You know, very frequently in Scripture, the dichotomy between light and dark is used to describe the kingdom of the enemy and the kingdom of God. And I love this metaphor, because when you think about it, you know, light does not have to fight to displace darkness. It just shows up. if I go in my office and turn on the lights, it doesn't slowly, you know, creep away from the light. It doesn't slowly get scrubbed out. The moment that light is present, darkness is gone. And that's just the truth, is that it's not whether the plans of God can outweigh the plans of the enemy. It's, are we looking at our life with the lights on or the lights off?
Now, you're talking from Bible, but you are also talking from seeing so clearly in the invisible world. So the enemy, if you will, has tricks. For instance, shame. Tell us about Doug.
Yeah. I had this friend when I was younger, and to make a long story short, he had a really big problem with substance abuse. And as he got a little bit older, he managed to give up most of these issues, but he still had a problem with alcohol. You know, he'd be doing good for a few months, and then he'd just have to go on a real scary bender where he would just really indulge. And the most recent of these events had caused him to spend a little time in jail and lose his license. Mm. And I saw Doug at church, and hey, how's it going? And he was, you know, saying all these kind of self-deprecating kind of statements. And I noticed there was this demon that was following him. And any time that he would say one of those self-deprecating statements, it would dump this bucket of this kind of oily tar kind of stuff. It was this dark black
You have
stuff.
Such an advantage over most people. I am so glad that God raised you up to teach others that their gifts can be developed.
Oh, totally. And it's just something that can grow, you know. And you know, I watched as all this would come on him, and eventually I told him, you know, please stop. You know, you stop saying this stuff about yourself. And a few days later, I saw him again, and that very same demon was picking at these different little wounds that were on him, all the little hurts and pains of life, and was pulling them open with one hand, when with the other hand it was shaking this brown bottle in front of his face. And the next time I saw Doug, he showed up to church drunk. And again, the second we made eye contact, I could see that he knew that he had started drinking again. And that exact same demon came and dumped that shame all over him again. And there's a righteous anger that comes up in me when I hope in other people too, when I realize the exact same demon that was trying to tempt him into violating his values is the exact same one that was condemning him and shaming him for having violated those values, trying to perpetuate a cycle.
Shame is a biggie. There are a lot of people watching us that have done the things. And every once in a while, it comes to remembrance, and you feel a lot of shame. What advice do you have for them? How can they get rid of this shame?
Yeah, so when you've truly repented, when you've changed your mind and changed the way that you're living your life. You are invited into stepping into your identity in Christ. And when you receive your identity from Him, shame can't stick to you. It can't hang on to you. It just melts away. You still have a conviction. You still have the Holy Spirit helping to direct your path and guide you. But it's not like shame. Shame tries to tell you who you are, tries to have you identify with something negative. Conviction makes you want to repent again and return to Jesus and let Him transform your life.
Well, you know, it's once you come to your senses, I guess he finds, a bully wants to find someone else that'll bite. They'll just leave him.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, what about the lady in the healing line that learned how to hear God?
Oh, yeah, this was a great one. We have prayer lines at the end of our services every day at Bethel Atlanta, and I had a woman come up and was, hey, what can I pray for you for? And she was really in a bad spot. She was having problems with her job, problems with her husband, and problems with her kids. There was just disconnection all over the place. And so I started praying for her, and I saw three angels standing behind her carrying these big canvas bags. And I saw stenciled on the bags was the word undelivered. And the angel reached in and pulled out a letter, and the letter also had a stamp that said undelivered on it. And I said, I think that the Lord really wants to speak to you. I think He has things He wants to share with you. Have you ever tried doing that before? And she hadn't. So we just did a little simple prayer. I'm going to pray for you, and we're just going to ask the Lord first, what does He have to say about your job? And I watched, and this angel tore open the letter. It had gold handwriting on it. And it kind of tilted the letter as if it was pouring a glass of water. And all the letters came tumbling off in this gold dust and landed on the woman's head. And I said, do you feel anything? He said, well, I just all of a sudden felt this sense of peace. Again, it didn't necessarily answer the question, but it brought this feeling of peace. I said, okay, let's see what the Lord has to say about your husband. Another letter opened, and this one he just set on top of her head. And she saw this picture of her and her husband, and it was like a good, normal day. They were connecting, they were speaking. And she said, I just kind of had this memory or this thought come to my mind. And I said, I think the Lord is showing you what He's going to do. Just a few weeks later, she had total breakthrough with her job. She had healing and restoration with her husband. And just a few months after that, she was starting to reconcile and reconnect with her kids just because she had moved towards learning to hear God's voice for herself.
And isn't that what God wants for all of us? Not run to a Blake. Blake, what's God saying to me? Now, Blake saw God's end time glory being manifested on earth. I can't wait to find out what he saw. It's a wow. Next.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. In a break, the thought crossed my mind several times. Do you see anything going on in this set right now?
I'd be happy to share that. Well, of course, there's all the normal stuff, like every crew member and yourself, of course, has a personal angel that's following them around.
Oh, just the normal stuff. Okay.
But one thing that really stuck out to me that I thought was cool is I saw three angels right around the kind of these sides of the set, and they had these golden staffs and these big, beautiful wings, and every feather of the wing was a different color. And I was asking the Holy Spirit what it was, and I heard Him say, it's the impartation for today, and it's every impartation that came before. It's an invitation for the body of Christ to awaken similar gifts that they have in themselves.
You talk about something that is so important for our viewers to understand. You call it the graveyard of dreams.
Yeah, this is a vision that I had that still leaves me a bit shaken. I was just out front of my house playing with my kids when all of a sudden I turned and looked and I saw Jesus standing at the end of my driveway. And he looked glorious. He was tall. He was wearing these beautiful robes. And I looked behind him and I saw these large, what looked to me like big file cabinets, but they were so high that they even blocked out the sun. And they were all over. I looked to the left, I looked to the right, they went as far as I could see. And I said, "Lord, what is this?" I heard him say, "It's a graveyard." And I thought, why is this in front of my house? And then he said, "It's a graveyard of dreams." And then again I thought, why is this in front of my house? There couldn't be that many dreams for this little neighborhood, you know. But then he said, "No, this graveyard covers the entire earth." And then I asked the right question. I said, "Whose dreams are these?" And Jesus said, "They're my dreams." Hmm. And at this point I looked and I realized that there were these big racks of shelves, and some of the shelves looked beautiful. They looked ornate. They were made of marble and gold, and even some of them had flowers in them. And others were kind of plain, slate gray, like just kind of a, like a file cabinet. And I realized that there was this difference between these two drawers. And then I heard Jesus say, "Not all of my dreams come true." And he said, "Do you want to see them?" And he walked forward and he opened one of the gray drawers, one of the dead ones, and it was a really long drawer, and front to back, it was full of all of these pieces of paper. And he pulled a few of these papers out, and the best way I can describe what was on these papers was it was like the most detailed business plan I had ever seen. Every thought, every piece of equipment, every personnel, everything that would be needed to accomplish this particular goal was planned for, thought out, and prepared. But it just sat there as a plan. And so then he took me and he opened one of the beautiful drawers, one of the ornate ones. And I was shocked that when he opened it, I saw a pair of feet sitting in there. Hmm. And I leaned lower and I looked in and could see a whole person. And I looked up at Jesus and he said, "All of my dreams come true through my children." And immediately I realized that the dreams that had come true were representative of places where people had given their lives for the plans of God, that they had dedicated their lives and their time here on earth to accomplish God's purposes and plans. And the gray drawers represented plans where people had not decided to do that and had just left that plan sitting there. And I quickly realized that there were a lot more of the gray drawers than there were of the beautiful ones. And I felt this kind of anger rise up in me. And I, without really thinking about it, I turned to him and said, "Well, then why do you dream at all?" And immediately he said, when he did, it washed all the anger out of me. He said, "I never stop hoping in my children, no matter how many times my hope is deferred." And then he paused for a moment and said, "Would you like to see your drawer?" And he pulled over to this section where all the drawers were sitting open and they were just empty. And he pulled open a drawer in front of me that I knew was mine. And I looked inside and it looked like a coffin. It was padded and soft. And I looked, and it was about as wide as a file cabinet. And I looked down at myself and, I'm a little bit wider than a file cabinet. And so half jokingly, I said, "It seems a little small." And he said, "That's right. There's no room for your dreams in there, only mine." And he said, "But don't worry, I'll hold on to your dreams for you." And I knew at that moment that that was neither a promise that he was going to put those dreams in there with me or that he was going to hold those dreams back. It was simply an invitation to trust him. And so, wanting to do just that, I had stepped in the drawer. And the second that I stepped in the drawer, I had something happen that had only happened once before that I can remember in my life. When I see in the spirit, it's intermixed with everything else that I see, and so it's just kind of naturally there. But this was different. This was a full open vision. I could still feel the ground underneath my feet. I could still hear my kids playing. But everything that I could see was nothing but this vision that God showed me. And I found myself high up in the sky, about airplane height. And I looked down and there was a city below me. I looked to my left and I looked to my right and there was other people as far as I could see in the air with me. And I looked behind me and I saw Jesus there, just as glorious as he had been before. And as Jesus was there, there was this light that was shining out of him, this pure, beautiful white light. And it shone out in these straight beams. And as these beams came, they hit each person. As they hit each person, just like white light going through a prism, the light split into multiple colors, but then it continued to split into patterns, into shapes, into different movements, some of them very organic and natural and beautiful, and some of them were very geometric and architectural and also beautiful in their own way. And then I listened and I heard him say, "Watch what it does." And as I looked ahead, my vision just began to go further and further and further, and I watched as this light hit all of these different places on the earth, from the greatest to the least. I saw his presence land on a school, and I saw what his glory looked like manifested in a school. I saw it hit the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company, and I saw what his glory would look like manifested there. Not just people being slain in the spirit or overwhelmed by his presence, but releasing glory in the unique expression that was designed for that place. And for what felt like hours, I saw place after place, every level of society. I saw the children of God running to the brokenhearted, to the motherless, to the fatherless, and releasing healing and wholeness. And it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And it went on for what felt like hours. Until finally, I blinked. And I was back in my driveway.
I'm sorry, you blinked.
I shouldn't have blinked. I blinked, I was back in my driveway, and Jesus was standing in front of me. And I said, what was that? Is that what's going to happen? Is that what could happen? What is that? And he said, "It's already started." And I realized then, you know, I can maybe give a little bit of a picture of what it would look like for God's glory to show up in a church service. I can imagine what that looks like. From my younger days, I can imagine a little bit of what the glory of God looks like on a school campus. But there are so many places on this earth that I just really don't know what his manifested glory looks like. What does it look like in an auto shop? What does it look like in an attorney's office? What does it look like at a dentist?
We're walking down a path that the world has never walked down before. Mm-hmm. And the old ways are not going to work. Yeah. The only thing that's going to work is your own experiential knowledge of God through Jesus. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Believe that he's forgiven you of every bad thing you've ever done in your life because he paid the price for it. And then with your mouth say, "Jesus, come inside, live inside of me, and be my Lord." Your own words, but do it now.
Call now and get Blake Healy's brand new book, Indestructible, and his exclusive three-part audio CD Masterclass, 9 Keys to Seeing in the Spirit, plus this bonus bookmark, an exclusive package for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9701. Through Blake Healy's brand new book, Indestructible, you will learn about angels and demons from a man who can see them. Blake answers your pressing questions about spiritual warfare, such as, what spiritual weapons has God given you? What kind of enemy are you facing? Can God really use you to fight this battle and be victorious? You will also receive his exclusive three-part audio CD Masterclass, 9 Keys to Seeing in the Spirit. Through this teaching, you will realize that the gifts of the Spirit are meant to lead you into a deeper relationship with God. Learn how seeing in the Spirit works and how you can begin your journey in walking in the supernatural. Understand how angels minister and support you. Understand how to operate in victory and your God-given authority. Blake prays a blessing over you, for God's presence and peace, for your heart to become softened to God's voice and nature, for you to clearly hear God's voice, for your ears and eyes to be opened to see into things of the Spirit.
You never ever have to worry about the fight between light and darkness. It's not a fair fight. You win.
Plus, you will get this bonus bookmark, 9 Keys to Seeing in the Spirit. This bookmark will allow you to keep these 9 keys in your jacket pocket or in your Bible as a reference wherever you go. Don't miss out on getting Blake Healy's brand new book, Indestructible, and his exclusive three-part audio CD Masterclass, 9 Keys to Seeing in the Spirit, plus this bonus bookmark, an exclusive package for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9701. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9701 or log on to sidroth.org. Call or write today.